All the stuff that you got. What do you hold dear right now? What are the things that you hold dear right now? Material things. What do you hold dear? Your cars? Your houses? Oh, God blesses us with them. We need to take care of them. We need to cherish them. We need to thank him for them. Every day we need to thank God for what he's given us. But my brothers and sisters, if we focus on those things and miss love, we are focusing on something right here that Peter tells us is going to burn up. He said all the elements are going to melt with the fervent heat. So if you haven't thrown it away already, it's going to be leaving you in the future. And we need to hold on to something that's going to be around long after spiritual gifts are gone, long after material possessions are gone. You know, we can hold on to something that'll be around a long time.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6, from our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6.
Focus on before our gifts is love. Now, once again, we need the gifts, so don't everybody quit now because we've been in trouble. We need the gifts, but God wants us to focus on love. Love your enemies. You know, do something good for somebody that's an enemy of yours. Man, let's you know, man, we have for so long, the body of Christ for so long has let the devil get in our relationships and have the victory. Let's not let the devil get the victory. You know, he gets back, he starts a little, instigates something, he throws something out there, instigates it, and then lets the saints go at it, and then he just sits back and just has a good time watching while the saints go at it. Man, let's not let the devil have the victory. Let's exercise love towards one another. Oh, it may be difficult sometimes in situations that we have to deal with in families, in the church, on the job, in our community, but let's find a way to exercise this love. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, prophecies, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. The word fail comes from a Greek word that means to diminish to nothing or to be eradicated. That that prophecy, well, what is prophecy? Some people say, I don't know what prophecy is. Prophecy is what I'm doing right now, proclaiming the word. You know, when we get to heaven, no need for preachers in heaven. Why? Because you got the main one. You got the great preacher. There's no need for preachers in heaven. So that the word prophecy means not only to preach the word, but foretell the word. When we get to heaven, there's no need for anybody to look into the future and tell the future. Why? Because God is going to reveal things to us. We'll be in his presence. There will be no more need for prophecy. He said, whether there's tongues, the word is pao, and the Greek, what that word means is they're going to lapse into silence. That tongues will become silent. That there will be no more need for tongues when we get into glory. He says knowledge, the gift to study and to analyze and gain earthly intellect, shall vanish away, shall be gone. After all these gifts, and I believe that here Paul is pulling out the most important gifts, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. And he says that they're going to end one day. He said, but you know what's going to continue on? Long after those things are gone, is love. Love will continue on. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we see that not only are gifts going to fade away, but it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. This earth, the heavens, one day are just going to pass away. God is going to set them all on fire and burn them all up. You know, they're going to pass away with a great sizzling sound. And the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Wow. Wow. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What's that? Your car? Your house? Your clothes? Everything that you hold dear is going to burn up. If you haven't got rid of it already and you're trying to hold on to it, it's gone, baby. I'm letting you know right now. It's going to burn up. He says, seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and all the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. It's all going to burn up. It's going to be gone. And if we spend our life trying to accumulate more and more and neglect the law, and neglect along the way to establish loving relationships and fall in love with the people around us, these things are going to burn up and be gone, and we're going to be sitting in heaven with a dunce hat on because we missed all the opportunities to love. You big dummy. You spent all that time trying to accumulate and amass things, and you missed opportunities for love right around you. You know, this became real to me. I remember when I was in seminary. I was so poor that I couldn't pay attention. I remember I started preaching. And my mother bought me, I came back to Pittsburgh one summer, and my mother bought me a brown pinstripe suit. Oh, man, that suit was sharp. And I used to wear that. That's the only suit I had. Every time I preached, that was my suit. I couldn't afford to buy another suit. I kept using that suit, You know, I wore that suit so many times and so long that it became a brown suit. The pinstripe wore off, man. You couldn't even see the pinstripe, man. It wasn't on there anymore. And I remember one time I was preaching in the pulpit and something inside came out. And I had to throw the suit, man. Started wearing out, and you know, I started walking like this. I'm serious. I couldn't, man. When I was able to buy some suits, man, I tell you what, that was one of the greatest days of my life when I was able to buy some suits. And I remember having to throw that suit away. There was one time I got sharp in that suit. Oh man, I used to be like Fred Sanford say, fried, dyed, and laid to the side. You know. You know how you get that lean, and you know that little lean in it, you know? If you took that suit off, it'd stand up in the corner like this. That was a bad suit. I used to get sharp in that suit. I didn't play in that. When you saw me in that suit, Pastor Glaze wasn't playing. He was serious about what he was getting ready to do. I had to throw that suit away. You know what? All the stuff that you got. What do you hold dear right now? What are the things that you hold dear right now? Material things. What do you hold dear? Your cars? Your houses? Oh, God blesses us with them. We need to take care of them. We need to cherish them. We need to thank him for them. Every day we need to thank God for what he's given us. But my brothers and sisters, if we focus on those things and miss love, We are focusing on something right here that Peter tells us is going to burn up. He said all the elements are going to melt with the fervent heat. So if you haven't thrown it away already, it's going to be leaving you in the future. And we need to hold on to something that's going to be around long after spiritual gifts are gone, long after material possessions are gone. You know, we can hold on to something that'll be around a long time. If we allow Satan to get in relationships and Satan to get in and cause havoc, and then we enter into heaven, mad with our children, mad with our parents, mad with other church people, mad with co-workers, and we go up into heaven I got my car, I got my house, I got these alligator shoes, none of that stuff is going to follow you there. And the only thing that you're going to be able to take into heaven is the spiritual wealth that you've laid up on this earth and the love that you've given. Love never fails. And the third thing that we see is the permanence of love is seen because it is more complete than spiritual gifts. Just stay with me for a second as we just break this passage down here. First of all, and I try to, break it down so that we can understand it, because, some of these things I have a hard time understanding. I'm saying, now what in the world is Paul talking about when he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and the child, and felt as a child, and now I'm a man, what does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says, now we look in a mirror darkly, but then, we see face to face? What does he mean? What does he mean when he says, now we know, but then we shall know as we are not? What is he talking about? How is this all related to love? And so I had to get into this thing and break it down so I could understand it, so I could be able to share with somebody else. But so the first thing, look at verses 9 and 10. He says here, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." So the in part he's referring to are the gifts. Prophecy, we don't know all the prophecy. Knowledge, we don't have all knowledge. Tongues, we can't speak with all tongues. So we can only speak with a part of and know a part of the things. He says, when that which is in part is no longer around, he said, then that which is whole. And what is he talking about there? What he's talking about is when we enter into the eternal state. When we enter into glory, that those things which are in part, that we won't need them anymore. Why? Because God is going to show us the whole. God is going to show us. See, right now you need Pastor Glaze to stand up every Sunday and preach to you from the Word of God. Or you need some pastor to preach. You need to be taught. You need to have this. You need to have that. But when we get to heaven, there's no more need for that, because God is just going to teach you himself. He's going to reveal all these things to you completely. The songwriter said, "We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by." Oh, you might not understand why God took your baby. You might not understand why God let you get cancer. You might not understand why you had to get fired from a job. You might not understand why you went through the difficulties that you went through. God says, in the midst of you not understanding, he says, don't give up hope. Don't give up faith. You only have a part of the story right now. You only have the part of it. It's just like right now we're in the train station and we're looking at each train car passing by one car at a time. When we get to heaven, God is going to put us up in the overlook station, and we're going to be able to look down and see all the trains coming and going. We're going to be able to see all the things that are going on and that went on in our life. We only understand in part right now. But there comes a day when we'll understand it all better, by and by. And Paul says that love is going to outlast these gifts, because these gifts are only here temporary to help us to get through this life. But when we get to heaven, we won't need the gifts anymore. But guess what's going to be there looking us in the face? Love. Love is going to follow you. The second thing he says in verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What is he talking about here? He's saying that the gifts help us to grow, that the gifts help us to mature. The gifts help us to speak, to feel, and to think. The gifts motivate us in this life. But when we step into glory, we won't need the gifts because we will be mature in its completeness. The child grows, the child moves through life, and the child becomes an adult. Paul says, like that child, we are like the child right now. You know, we are not fully mature. There are some things that we don't understand. But when we become an adult, you know, we don't need all those things that we dealt with as a child. That's why it's idiotic to see, you know, grown folks who are acting like children. You know, and a lot of people haven't left their childhood. And so I know a lot of times we use this verse to apply it to, you know, people that they say that some people grow up and other people just grow old. So we pray that you're not one of those individuals that's just growing old. We pray that you're growing up, that you're growing out of childhood, and that you're growing into adulthood. And Paul is making the analogy to say that these gifts that we have right now help us to live in this life. But one day we are going to be complete. We are going to be mature, and we are not going to need the gifts anymore. But after the gifts have gone, what's still there? Love will still be there. The third analogy he gives in verse 12, he says, for we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. We see in a mirror darkly. Corinth, this would have been a fitting analogy for Corinth, because Corinth was known for their bronze mirrors. And so Paul just used a ready analogy that they would have identified with right then. But what he's saying this. He says that when we look in the mirror, you know, we see darkly. We see an image. We see, some of us like what we see, some of us don't. But we see something when we look in there. And you know what? It's just, you know what, I remember I got a TV in my bedroom, and I remember trying to watch the Steelers games. And, you know, I turned on the Steelers game, and for some reason, nowhere in my house without cable can you get Channel 2, you know, clear. And all the Steelers games seemed like they came on Channel 2. So I'd be watching the game, man, and every game, it looked like I was watching, it looked like it was snowing, man, because, you know, all I saw, man, I just saw some images on the TV. You know, and every now and then it would might flash in. But you know what? A couple years ago, I went and got me a high-definition television. I went and broke down and got the cheapest cable I could find. Hooked up my cable to my high-def. And I could see, oh, Heinz, what? I thought his number was 88. Oh, it's the 86. I was looking at a distorted picture. Oh, baby, there's nothing like high definition. I'm going to tell you right now, the grass is green and the sky is blue. It looks good. You know, I see things I never saw before. Just makes a world of difference. That's the analogy that Paul's making here. Paul's saying that when we, right now, we're looking in the mirror, we're looking at Channel 2 with no cable. We can make some... We can make a couple things out, and we can make sense of some things, and we can try to tune. And see, sometimes people want answers. Why did such and such happen to me? Well, let's get on the TV and let's try to tune. Why did that happen? It's just not coming in. I just can't see it right now. I don't know why. But you're the pastor. You're the man of God. Why did this happen? You go to Billy Graham. You go to the Pope. They looking at channel 2 without cable. You know, some things are not going to come in clear. Paul said, but when we get to heaven, we're not going to look in that mirror anymore, but we're going to look at it face to face. And we're going to see it in high definition. And God is going to show us all the things that we need to know. And so after all the gifts have gone away and all the gifts are over, Paul said that love is still going to be there. Love is still going to be there. He gives us a final analogy, and that's in the last part of verse 12. He says, for now we see in the mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And I had the hardest time trying to figure out what that meant. I must have went to 12 commentaries just trying to get some agreement and some unity on what this meant. And let me just give it to you the way the Spirit of the Lord gave it to me. You know, what he's saying, what I'm getting from it, now I know in part. Things that happen in my life, I know in part. I can't understand everything, I know in part. He said, but then I shall know even as I am known. And what Paul is saying is that who knows us better than anybody else right now? God knows us. God knows my down sitting, and God knows my uprising. God knows why I cuss so-and-so out and why I bless so-and-so. God knows why I did the right thing, and God knows why I did the wrong thing. God knows me completely right now. And what Paul is saying, that I only know myself. Ooh, man. Sometimes I do stuff I don't know why I do them. I don't know why I do some things. Me and my wife was talking yesterday, and I said something. I don't know why in the world I said it. And my wife said, well, why did you say that? And I said, I don't know. And she said, no, there had to be a reason. You said that for a reason. I don't know. And then I said, I'm just stupid. Just plead the fifth, baby. Just plead insanity. Just plead insanity. I'm just stupid, man. I don't know why I said that. Maybe I get to heaven, God will tell me why I said it. You know, even Paul had that struggle. Paul said, the things that I do, I don't want to do. The things that I want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? He had that struggle. So we don't even understand everything about ourselves right now. You think you do, but nobody knows you better than you, but you don't even understand everything about yourself. But God understands everything about you. And what Paul is saying, that now we know in part, but when we get to heaven, we will know as God knows us now. And we'll be able to look back and see why we did things that we did, why things happened the way that they did. And Paul said that this partial knowledge that we have right now will one day be over. And we'll have complete knowledge. But guess what? When knowledge is gone, when prophecy is gone, when tongues are gone, guess what's still going to be around? Love. Love. Love will still be around. Saints, I believe the message for us today is that we need to focus on love. We need to focus on reaching out, loving those around us, because this is going to be around long after other things have gone away. How's your love life today?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Techniques, Part 7. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 6. or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.